The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Thunder Rosa, and Nick Nemeth talk about the big Wednesday show with AEW. Your new AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland. We have some emotional stories about Swerve. And also, Tony Khan. The neck brace in the war room at the NFL draft. A lot to get into right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Somebody who won, obviously, this last weekend at Dynasty is Swerve Strickland. Thunder Rosa, Swerve is your new AEW champion.
I had a moment with Swerve in the locker room, and we were in the doctor's office, and he said something really important. It was him and I, we started in Lucha Underground together. And he was like one of the new guys, and I was like the greenest of the greenest. Nobody wanted to work with me, and everybody was giving me the eye because they were like, what is she doing here? Like, she's a nobody, right? And they made me feel like I was a nobody the whole entire time. The way that they didn't want to work with me, the way that they didn't want to put me over, even if it was from the story. And I didn't say anything because I was paying my dues. And Nick, you know this, you have to eat shit a lot of the times when you're the new one. And nobody gave 2 cents about Swerve and I. And they always told us that we were not going to make it. They always made fun of us. They always kind of like criticize us. But then that night, he was going to be crowned. And he was crowned a champion, you know? And I mean, although I didn't win the championship, I was still standing on top. And I'm in a major company. And I was myself a champion. So, and he was like, I started crying. He's like, look at us right now. Nobody gave 2 fucks about us and how far we have come because we work hard and we believe in ourselves and we bet on ourselves. And I was like, I was crying. Like, that was to me that he's been through the ringer, I've been through the ringer, and we both have like experienced a sense of success in professional wrestling. And now where we're taking our careers and the new heights that we're going to take. It was a very, very important moment for me.
That's awesome. I got to tell you, because I'm praising AEW, and I thought it was awesome how that show ended. And I love what we're going to see from that story moving forward. But with Swerve Strickland, and maybe you guys have a different opinion, and if you do, please. I would have much rather have heard from Swerve on Wednesday than to see Swerve in a match on Wednesday. Like, Thunder, with you, like when you won your women's championship.
Let's not even talk about it.
No, but I'm saying I would have rather heard from you. But you know what, though? Fast forward to what we got the couple weeks ago with you at Collision, where you had 5 minutes with a microphone able to tell your story, put over the match and put over your opponent and put over the company AEW. And it worked, it clicked, and it led to what was a great match at a pay-per-view.
Yes.
I think I would have much rather have heard from Swerve than to actually have seen him wrestled on Wednesday. What do you think?
I think a lot of people share your concern. I talked to a couple of my friends who are big, big, big Swerve fans. Some of them felt a little bit offended about him wrestling at the time slot that he did, because he means so much. A lot of my friends are, African-Americans, and for him being the first African-American champion in AEW, it meant a lot. And the whole presentation that he brought on Sunday, I'm gonna focus on representation. For me as a Mexican American, Mexican born wrestler, representation is everything. And what Swerve did on Sunday, coming with the whole Wakanda gear and everything, the Black Panther, that means a lot. Like, a lot of people are like, they feel represented by Swerve, like what he brings, like the swag, the hustle, the, you know, working from the bottom, now we here kind of thing. It means a lot. And they just feel that he deserved more, being that he's the main face of AEW champion in the male, you know, division. They felt like it was not the best spot to be in. And they absolutely agree with you with him. Instead of wrestling, he should have said something, but he's going to be saying something Collision this Saturday. So he's suspected to be talking on Saturday. But having him representing the African-American community, like I said, is big. He like I said, he brought his shoe. He's an entrepreneur, you know, like he raps, he sings. Now he's going to be, I think he's going to be doing some stuff with Fosse. I'm not sure. But I know that Jericho put him over really, really big on his dinner after he won the championship. Like Swerve has worked his ass off to be where he's at. And I'm not only talking about in the ring, but outside of the ring. Like, I remember when he first started his music career, and he used to send me his stuff on Spotify. And I was just like, what is this? He's like, this is what I'm working on. And he's been working super hard. So he's been doing everything along with wrestling. And now everything is just like blossoming. So he's going to be busy. He's trying to do something different too. And I'm very happy for him. I'm very, very happy for him.
So I'm going to take it a different way, because everybody was saying this, and I appreciate it. One, what would WWE do if they had a brand new champion that came out? They would come out on Raw or SmackDown and hold the title up and have a presentation and have the fireworks go off. For the last 6 months, or maybe way longer, Swerve's been coming out, cutting promos better than most. And already we know that he can talk. In a company that we focus on more the amazing matchups and the awesome wrestling, he stands out as someone who's talking, especially in the men's division. So I think I'm totally fine with this. Like, I'm assuming they didn't go, hey, you're wrestling. He goes, oh no. He's like, great. Maybe we're blending. I'm going to do a little booking here myself. Maybe we're blending him, since he's becoming such a star in front of everyone's eyes, to where not everyone's booing when he comes out. Half the people are cheering, half people are booing. And then 2/3 are cheering. Maybe it was letting everyone know that was my character in the past. I talked all this trash. I backed it up. Now, you know, I can talk, you know, I can rap, you know, I can do things on the outside. I'm coming down here to go to work, to win over those hardcore fans that want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle every night. I'm going to let you know that I can do all these things, modern day Renaissance man, and I can back it up. And I'm going to be a fighting champion, planting the seeds for everybody to just fully watch this turn happen. Not that he's being booed, but he was for a while. And now you just get excited when he comes out, because there's a star happening and he's coming out to do his thing. So I like it being different. We catch his music. We know the deal. He starts it. He gets the match in, he dominates, and we know he can talk. We know he can do the backstage things. I love seeing him put the time in and get to work and let everybody know I'm a fighting champion and I can do it all. I love it. I'm fine.
And you know what, Nick? I like the counter, and Thunder, you just said it as well. He's going to open up Collision tomorrow night. All right, people are saying, well, Collision, that's the Saturday show. Dynamite's the main show. Well, Collision is coming on immediately after the Heat Celtics game coming up. I think it's Heat and Celtics playoff game. And I don't even think there's going to be a post game show. Like, I think it's going from the game right to Collision. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on AEW right after Collision, because probably, I think you can assume, maybe the biggest audience AEW has ever had, because you're coming on immediately after an NBA playoff game. So maybe this is kind of like one of those things where, again, where people are yelling and screaming, heads on fire. Oh, my God, they're disrespecting Swerve. But a hell of a lot more people are going to watch Swerve tomorrow night as opposed to this past Wednesday night.
And probably I'm like crossing my fingers that we had a lot of issues with the network and the audio was really bad this Wednesday. Hopefully all this is solved and we have people actually stay tuned for the 3 hours. I'm going to be on the last hour of the show, so you stay tuned. I have a match with Deonna Purrazzo. But yes, so to your point with Swerve, he will be speaking. And I'm just curious to see what he has to say because this is a new era. This is a completely different champion that we have had. And we haven't had that many champions in the last 5 years here at AEW. So it is going to be very interesting to see where he's going to take this new character and how he's going to develop, because he turned to be a babyface at this point. He was a heel with like to your point, Nick, a couple years when he first came in, no reaction, and he won the people little by little. And that's the beautiful thing to see how he evolved and where he's at right now. And I love that he has Prince Nana. He's been great. His entrances, like he's been over people like dancing. It was a beautiful moment to see that. I saw it. I was in the back, and then I had to walk with the people outside with the fans to experience this moment. You know, the confetti and just the embrace that everybody was, finally this moment happened. So we're gonna see finally what he is going to do, and he's planning to do it as a champion. Because once you know after chasing the championship, the important part is, how are you going to keep it, and how are you going to keep people's interest in this championship?
And if you're into ratings or different things, you were waiting to hear from him, finally going to get his speech. He finally won this title, and you got an awesome match instead. Now you get a second viewing, like, oh, you know what? I'm not usually home on Saturdays, or I watch Saturday Night Live, or I'm out. You know what? I'm going to catch it this time. Because now you've gone from that storytelling that leads to booking to where you assumed he's going to open the show and have this coronation and talk. Now you saw the work, and now you're going to see him talk later. And it's an advertisement for himself for Collision. So I think that is a huge win. As long as he was on board with it. Yes, that's great. I love that. Have it be different. Every single champion comes out and goes, I'm the champ. Now here's what, and then gets cut off. Let him do his work. Then let's see the promo. And it's all in the same week. You get different eyes on a product. And like Dave said, after that playoff game, maybe it'll be hotter than coming in off Big Bang Theory. Win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and I feel like, again, and Nick, you mentioned the ratings, and you know, people love to tweet out the ratings. Again, those yes. are the cable ratings. Like, not many people have cable anymore.
Old people like me have it, and that's about it. And I'm ready to get rid of it.
Yeah. Dude, I just cut the cord. I'm a 52-year-old man that, you know, for me, sitting on the couch watching my TV with my remote in hand. I cut the cable. Like I got YouTube Live now. I'm watching it on YouTube. Like I feel like people, again, resting their laurels on this. Fuck. I mean, enough with the cable rating. That's just one aspect. You got to look at everything overall. You got to look at the cable rating. You got to look at streaming. You got to look at social media. You got to look at YouTube. It's a different
world. And hopefully
world.
Saturday, a completely different world. And hopefully Saturday they go, hey, we got a little bit of an extra bump because we said this was where Swerve was going to talk. I said it as ratings, but it's also storytelling of ratings of how can I get more than one TV show out of this event that occurred? And then you go forward and go, how can I get 3 weeks of this? Okay, great. And you're already planning ahead. I respect it. Everyone said they wanted the stories. We're getting one more TV out of the thing that was supposed to happen because we've always done it that way. I love it.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble.
Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Rich Eisen, just so you know, that wasn't a pile driver that Tony Khan took on Wednesday night. It was a TK driver, all right?
Oh, get informed.
Do your homework. All right.
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Do your homework.
Damn.
Why is it called that?
Well, it used to be the Meltzer driver that the Bucks did. And then
why was it called that?
Because, you know, they love Dave Meltzer.
Five star Meltzer, you know? Yeah.
5 stars bounce out. You see stars afterwards. I get that. I like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So
you see how many stars you are based on what city you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If it's Tokyo, 7 stars.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of stars. That's better than most of the hotels I stay in.
But the thing I loved about it, and we're going to talk a lot about what we saw with Tony Khan and what happened on Wednesday and how it bled into the NFL draft last night, because Tony Khan was wearing the neck brace in the Jaguars war room last night, which... You know, Nick, I loved it because I was wondering how it was going to be, because the last couple of years, Tony Khan was in that war room with his dad for the Jaguars, as he should be, because I think he's in charge of the analytics when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I was wondering if he was going to go that far, and he did. He wore the neck brace. He sold it like a champ, and I love those things because what did it do? It had Rich Eisen talking about AEW, you know. So, you know, people that are watching the NFL draft that maybe are wrestling fans or not wrestling fans or were at one time wrestling fans, they're hearing those three letters AEW. That's nothing but a positive for that company.
Huge. As a fan of when things are gimmicky or bad or slap you in the face, we shovel it into your mouth, I'm very disgusted with it most of the time when you see that randomly happen. This happening makes me smile so much that there is part of our business, one, being talked about. That is fantastic. Any publicity is almost always good publicity, for especially for AEW, but I live for it. I love it. I love when this happens. A friend of mine had to wear a neck brace in New York for 6 or 8 months for a while, and he still got in trouble for it because he wasn't doing it right. But it didn't matter. Like, when you live for it and you live to go, this is my job and I take it home with me and I take it very seriously, I will protect it. I love that part. Now I'm wondering, is Vince going to try and buy back the football from Rocky so he can wear two neck braces and sunglasses, and maybe roll in a wheelchair and then have for their draft. I don't know. He's going to have to try and outdo it at some point. Maybe grow two mustaches. I don't know, but it's going to be something different to have that stand out. I love that this is happening. It's like Andy Kaufman wrestling women on TV. Like, let's bring it back. Let's make it real. Put them on the Tonight Show.
I think for me, it's like we have received a lot of criticism that we're not doing a great job on cross promoting AEW. This is a perfect example on how to cross promote in different companies, professional wrestling, especially knowing that, you know, Tony Khan is extremely involved in soccer and in football now, and having him wear that neck. And the important thing, Dave, is like, they're going to be like, okay, so what happened? They're going to research AEW. They're going to go and see the video. So they're going to get more hits on the video. And from that, they can probably get more fans that are NFL fans to watch AEW. I think that's the very important part on how this is working. Because, I mean, for me, it was really funny. I was not expecting it. I was there when this happened and I was in shock. I was in the doctor's room when he was brought into the doctor's room. Tony Khan collapsed in the doctor's office after what just happened with the Elite. And also another thing that with the Elite, like, people were hating them a lot, but I think that's now a real reason what to hate them. Like, the storyline makes sense. And I think a lot of the stuff that it was questionable was like after that video, we're like, where this is going to go. Well, now I know where it's going to go. Like, they're against the boss. And I'm just like, as a inside heel that I always been, I'm like, oh, I might be able to hit my boss and I get fired. Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's all I have to say.
Yo, no. Real heel wouldn't care if they got fired or not for beating up their boss. No big deal. Take a swing, damn it.
Well, I loved it because on the show on Wednesday, I did the show Wednesday with both Bully and Tommy, and Bully and I talked about how Jack Perry could be the biggest baby face in AEW because how the crowd was going to react because Punk is gone, but Perry's back, and the AEW fans are going to rally around Jack Perry. Tommy said that he looked at it the other way, how he could be the biggest heel. And Nick, it's pretty interesting. Jack Perry comes out, and it was just like I thought. The fans were on their feet cheering Jack Perry. But then within 5 minutes, everybody in Jacksonville that was on their feet cheering Jack Perry was then booing Jack Perry. That's the art of pro wrestling, right? Was where you can control people's emotions and feelings the way Jack Perry did this past Wednesday on Dynamite.
That is the true proven marksmanship of the business, because I also was on that Windy City Riot show in Chicago with him, to where I was curious. I'm like, oh, this kid's coming back. Let's see how it's going to go. And booing him out of the building and the craziest reactions. And then almost a Cena-esque, we're booing you, but we know that you're here and we like the story. And then having that all happen. And it's one thing to be able to have someone just have an opinion of you, but when you can get emotions, whether it's cheering or booing, when you are getting a reaction, a genuine reaction, or like, oh, where's he going with this? It doesn't matter. As long as the sound is there, you are doing your job as a professional wrestler. And right now, last week, I'll be fair here. I said, let's see where they're going. So all I kept saying, I go, guys, let's focus on the positive. Let's see where they're going. Maybe they can make a run with this. And I think the numbers over the next 2 to 3 weeks let you know if it worked or not. But to us to be talking about it, where you're saying, hey, I was wrong, or I missed a piece, then let's see where they're going. It's very interesting to see where they're going right now. And now everyone's talking about it. Just like last week, everyone was talking about the footage or what's going to happen. And then coming out of the pay-per-view, everyone's talking about how awesome that pay-per-view is. Then we're talking about Tony Khan at the draft. And now we're going, where is this story going? If you have everyone talking, especially when 2/3 of all internet stuff is dogging you because you only like one wrestling company and you can't like another one for some freaking reason. When that happens, that just makes everyone want to go, I want to talk about this. I want to see where they're going. I wish I had something to say where I'd be like, hey, listen, I told them they were doing a bad job and now they're doing a good job. So I take it back. I said, let's see where they're going. I appreciate it. I think Vince 40 years ago would be doing all these different things and probably getting punched in the stomach and wheeled into the XFL draft or something, you know, exactly the same way. I love it. I hope they're going somewhere extra special with it. It doesn't matter if babyface or heel. Let the crowd decide. Let them feel it out. And then let everybody take over this story and be talking about it every single Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
that's the goal, right? I mean, you want people talking, and like you said, in a positive way. I don't think there's many people that could have watched the ending of that show and shit on it. Like, I think watching that ending and then seeing, you know, him at the NFL draft wearing the neck brace, people are talking about AEW. That's going to be a positive thing. And going back to what you said, Thunder, earlier in the show, and Nick knows this because I did it with Nick. Nick did have the opinion like, wait, let's see what happens. You know, slow your roll a little bit, LaGreca. You're a little bit over the top. You're like, I've been in this business. I know it. Like, let's see how this plays out. And I was like, fuck you, Nick. This was shit. That video, how can you play that video? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then I said it on the air yesterday with Tommy Thunder. I said, I got to eat some crow. Because yep. Now, if you didn't show that video a couple of weeks ago with Punk and Jack Perry, you wouldn't have had that reception that he got, as Nick said, at the Windy City in Chicago. You wouldn't have had what you had this past Wednesday on Dynamite Thunder. Like, so, like I said, I went on the air yesterday. I said, I got to eat a little crow. I was wrong. We put the video out on social media because Paul, our producer, loves to embarrass me. We put the video out on social media and I retweeted, said, I was wrong. And I even said, you know, but that's, I love being wrong. That's the thing about it is like, I want to have that moment where you want to call me, hey, you're stupid, Mark, or how do you not see that coming? No, I love being got. That's the art form of pro wrestling where we're like, where is this going? Oh shit, I didn't see that coming. And Thunder, I got to say, I didn't see it coming. And I loved what I saw on Wednesday night.
Honestly, a lot of people didn't see it coming, David. I didn't see it coming, honestly. I was just, because it was so controversial, period. Like, and I know controversy draws attention, either good or bad. People been talking about this situation. I'm not talking about for weeks. I'm talking about for months. So, and regardless of the numbers, like, people still, like, now talking about what just happened. And another thing that I would like to mention, guys, this has been done before, and stop with the like, oh, he didn't sell it right. Why is he? He has a neck brace. He had to show up to work. He's Fowler, who never shows up on the show, on the ring. And he was super worried because he was like, damn, we have an NFL draft and you're just on the floor half dead. What am I going to do? How are we going to deal with this? It's like,
see, that's what it was. Thunder. I got to jump in here for a second. Shai Khan, like, I don't think he was like, oh my God, my son. I think he was like, oh my God, we got the draft tomorrow. It's my analytic guy. Like, who the fuck is going to do his job? Who's going to cover for him? And then he was probably like in the hospital saying, I don't give a shit that you got your neck broken. Put on a neck brace. Get your ass in that war room because we got a draft to do. So yeah, to your point, I think that's how it went down.
Guys, this is storytelling. Enjoy the damn storytelling. Yeah, it was a controversial thing. People were moved. People were fucking upset about what happened. But now, you know, it's pro wrestling is happening. And that's the good thing. Another point that I want to make. There's no storylines at AEW. There are storylines at AEW. They're happening as we speak. So the problem is you must watch to see what's happening at AEW. So I invite you to tune in on Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays and watch the damn show so you can see that there are storylines happening.
I agree with you because, Nick, it's all about stories. And I have been very critical of AEW not having stories. I have been very critical of AEW not having heels and baby faces where it's like everyone's getting cheered. Well, if everyone's getting cheered, then you have no emotional investment with a personality or character. And Nick, to Thunder's point, coming out of Dynasty and coming out of Dynamite from Wednesday, there's four or five different stories coming out of those two shows that I'm emotionally invested in now. And Nick, at the end of the day, it is all about story. You need the story to lead up to the big match. Like, Rocky just doesn't fight Apollo at the beginning of the movie. You got to have a story that leads up to the fight at the end of the movie. And I think AEW is finally realizing that.
And I love it. Everyone, we're still talking about him right now. The hot topic is AEW. I love that. I live for it. I hope some people who are like, this sucks, will at least acknowledge it. Like, hey, I'm checking this out, or hey, I'm giving it a shot, because, you know, it's so easy to say the negative part, especially online. not so much, you know, the positive parts, but we're talking about them coming out of the pay-per-view, coming out of the TV. Everybody wants to see the stories. Now, hopefully the stories are long-term and it all works out, because there's two main wrestling fans, I think, that just want to see some great matches and just want to see some entertainment. And when you can blend those two together, you have a very special combination or formula that it gets everybody invested. And you say, hey, these are two of the greatest of all time. What is the story? Oh, if someone's career's online, or this person says they're going to retire, or this might be the last time, any kind of stakes involved one way or another, it makes me go just a little bit bigger on every time you think it's the end of the match. Like, this is it. This is how it goes. And it's, I love a good movie with a twist at the end that it brings you in the whole way through. You have the ups and downs. And then when you get to the finish, when you get to the ending, whether everybody cheers, boos, or their mouth is on the floor, you go, I've just created this masterpiece. And they want to come back the next day and see this new movie all over again.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. And I actually thought that Tony did a great job, because if Tony Khan got punched in the stomach by Jack Perry, he's going down like a ton of bricks. And that's exactly what happened. Like, you know, Tony Khan's not an athlete. He gets hit by a wrestler. He's going down. He's going down hard. And that's what happened.
Even Vince, jacked Vince 20 years ago, taking a stunner. He would never take it a stunner like Scott Hall would. He would take it like billionaire Vince, who doesn't wrestle, crumbles to the ground or falls down or however, tears a quad, however it happens, it goes down and happens.
Say that.
But it's any of those. I love that. Like Jim Cornette getting punched by a Road Warrior is not just going to go, and fall down. He's going to explode into a white suit that turns into a red suit. And we're going to pick up pieces of him off the ground and find him later. That's the beauty of the actual letting someone know this inside story of, this isn't a performer. This isn't one of the wrestlers. That's why it's different. That's why it's big. That's why we want to see what the hell happens next week.
And you know what? Like, you're right. You make a great point. The worst stunner of all time was Vince taking that stunner from Stone Cold.
Not
Steve
a full-time
Austin.
Performer. It just
he,
makes
he
sense.
He pulled his quads, right? Like both of his quads when he took that then.
No. That's, I mean, it's a funny story to say that, but that's he ran down to, I believe there was a Royal Rumble finish with Batista, Cena. And,
yeah, but you know what? It looked like he tore more than just his quads.
When he they would have at least stunner. Had an excuse for the stunner. Yeah.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.